You talked about how you were letting things go slowly and not trying too hard to get things done, as you put it. And Shay, that really struck a chord in me.
Jay's gonna bring me back. Give me a plus one to attack. Oh, 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 I want to come back to the dice. Whoa, oh, 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 I think I need some good advice.
I need a role-playing rescue. Oh, yeah. I need a role-playing rescue. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hello, rescuers. My name's Che Webster, and this is Roleplay Rescue, the podcast about rediscovering our lost role-playing games hobby. 6 months ago, I felt like the podcast was done and I was ready to stop. The reality was that I needed to slow things down and we switched to bi-weekly episodes. 15 episodes later, I am ready to dial things to a new level. I have 3 gaming groups playing regularly and finding time to record is becoming harder. When I most needed to play, to rescue the role-playing in my life because I wasn't finding the people to share it with, I began this podcast to talk about it. And now that I'm playing again, the irony is that I find I have fewer things to say. Here's a short version. I am going to take a break, once again, from podcasting. When I do return, whether it's in a couple of weeks, 2 months, or a year, I'm going to take the approach of recording when I have something I'm interested in saying. No more weekly or bi-weekly schedule, just grabbing the mic whenever ideas are worth developing. So, this is the end. It's also the beginning of something new. All things change, and it's time for Roleplay Rescue to become more flexible. This is perhaps a reflection of the change that 5.5 years of podcasting has wrought in me as a gamer. 6 months ago, I would never have imagined that I would be running 3 games in the same fantasy world, using Powered by GURPS rules, playing face-to-face with adults again, and feeling excited and relaxed about the future of my play. But here we are, at least for now. And it feels really positive. This is Season 13, Episode 15. The End?
Hi, Jay. It's John McNally calling from the Pacific Northwest in response to GM Journal 225 towards the end. You provoked a lot of thoughts in this episode, Jay, so this may be the first of a few messages from me. I wanted to comment on the experience of solo play with Traveler that you described, pulling out those little black books and rolling up a system, rolling up a character. You talked about how you were letting things go slowly and not trying too hard to get things done, as you put it. And Shay, that really struck a chord in me. As an adult gamer, a middle-aged gamer no less, I find myself sometimes paralyzed by the self-imposed rule that I must maximize every moment, even moments spent at my hobby. When I think the opposite is what I want, when I dig down deep, I want to be losing time. And I'm not trying to like march toward an objective. I want that time to just be curious about the imaginary world, about the other people that I see at the table. And if I'm overly concerned with making the most of that time, it seems like I'm at cross purposes. What do you think?
I think that you've hit upon something that is core to the experience I've always sought at the gaming table. Losing time. John, I believe that play is about a sense of timelessness, of losing oneself to the flow of the game. Clock time is an imposition on our lives in a radical way. What I've discovered is that slowing down my activity and taking the pressure off myself has led to more joy than I could have ever imagined. Just yesterday, as I record this, I played in a follow-up session with the meetup group, playing a simple dungeon adventure set in Felmir. we had played a month before and got to a point of decision where the group wanted to explore beyond a secret door they were sure was present. For that session, my prep was already done and I had decided this might be the last time we'd play Felmir together. I was, in fact, ready to propose that, having run a couple of short adventures, it was perhaps wise to consider what the group might like to play going forward. All I had to do was show up, run the last couple of scenes of the scenario, wrap up, and then initiate a session zero. We had the best session so far. Time slipped by with ease, and I found myself captivated by the events as they unfolded. One of the players wrote this after the game. Quote, "Thanks for GMing today. That was, I suspect you'll agree, the most successful session so far. It had drama, role-playing, tension, puzzlement, battling and terror. It was also great to see the terror and survive to tell the tale. I'm so glad there was at least some way to halt the undead dragon warriors. Great job." End quote. Here's what had changed. I stopped trying to push the pace of the game forward. I presented the location and situation as it arose. I asked the magical RPG question, "What do you want to do?" And I listened to the other players. I responded to their questions and their actions. I went with the flow. 2 hours passed in an instant, and I suggested a break for food and drinks. We finished an hour and a half later with just 30 minutes of session time to spare for that session zero conversation. What the players said as we went around the table was that they'd really just like to play some more in Felmir. Work's busy and life can feel intense. Rushing around day to day is exhausting. And when I pile on the expectations I've given myself around this choice to run and play RPGs, it becomes overwhelming. The solution appears to be to do less. Take more time over what you do and savour the moments. What do I think about slowing down? John, I think we should allow moments of play to take as much time as they need. Thanks for calling in, John. Reading James D'Amato's Ultimate RPG Gameplay Guide, originally published back in 2019, has been illuminating. While defining terms he'll use, D'Amato writes the following, quote, "Everyone involved in an RPG is playing the game and is therefore a player. When we refer to players at the table in this book, we mean everyone at the table. Traditional RPGs have specific roles that work differently to make the game function. Broadly speaking, the most popular terms are player character, PC, and game master, GM." End quote. He goes on in Chapter 1, Understanding Audience, to say this. Quote, "Audience actively shapes the creative process. One of the basic questions that creators ask themselves when starting a project is, who is this for? In RPGs, the audience is also creating the story by interacting with each other. You and your fellow players are enjoying your game's story as you are writing it. The process of creating the story is as important to the success of the game as the story itself." End quote. Putting aside D'Amato's strong narrative and storytelling focus, the insight which finally struck home as I was reading that first chapter was simple. As GM, I am a player at the table. Now, I've known this intellectually for years. It's not a new suggestion by any means. But as with all insight, you cannot force the realization of what something means until the moment is right for you. Realizing that I need to be a player at the table, albeit a very different type of player to my friends, when I am the GM, that was helpful. The insight first struck me when I was playing around with 1977 Traveller a couple of weeks ago, as mentioned by John in his call. I've been wanting to experience something a little different to Felmir and decided to take Simon Williams' advice to play a game solo. What happened was that I sat down and began to procedurally generate a subsector of space using the original Traveller system. time slowed and seemed to melt away as I began to explore the map that unfolded before me. It didn't take long, but it did captivate me. I was playing. And I kept playing in tiny moments in my lunch hour at work, rolling up one more set of world statistics for subsector 001. And then last weekend, I found myself back with an old favourite fantasy RPG called Imagine. It's a game that I discovered around year 2000 and was immediately captivated by. I used it as the secret behind-the-screen game system in my otherworld-immersed Northern Isles experiment. And had I not been quite so unwell at the time, perhaps I would still be playing it. But I stopped playing Imagine until last weekend. Sitting alone, I decided to use the system to create a character. Once again, time melted away and I was captivated. James D'Amato distinguishes between play that is system-led and that which is story-led, placing those as poles on a spectrum. I recognise I am very much further towards the system-led end of that spectrum in my play. And this is why I struggled with GURPS for so many years, because the current edition doesn't have random character creation or even tools for procedurally generating worlds. You have to know what and where you seek to play before you begin. And the solution, at least for me, has been to introduce procedural tools to my game. And this is where the Alexandrian's So You Want to Be a Game Master has stepped in to help me. His scenario structures and procedures fill a void and offer me ways to structure my prep as a GM. I have tools to deploy at the table, which I can fall back on when inspiration is scant. For example, in our recent session, the simple use of a wandering encounter procedure in the dungeon generated one of the most memorable scenes of the session. Five goblins returned to their lair to find the adventuring party mid-raid. Because the party took an hour to rest before they pushed to explore the final chamber, the odds went against them, and the goblins returned. One simple tool made my play at the table interesting and gave me something to riff off with the other players, and it was a really entertaining scene. Because, you see, I'm there to play too. Another spectrum D'Amato identifies is the spread between improvisation and preparation. Having wrestled for years with preparation and never feeling I get it right, the reality is that I lean much further down the improvisational track than I realised. What helps me is procedural tools that generate suggestive material I can riff off. This is what solo play has taught me, to use generative tools. Because, as D'Amato suggests, I also lean away from living narrative towards preferring a living world, which means I want to treat the world as a living place rather than as a mere vehicle and backdrop for the PC's story. My prep can be usefully focused on creating locations, people and situations, while my play happily improvises the details. Recognising that I prefer mechanics-driven play rather than story-driven play was the final bit of insight. In other words, I love playing with detailed mechanisms and systems because this improvisation is fueled by the suggestions of the dice mixed with the regularity and reliability of the game engine. Story emerges from that play. At least, that's what I enjoy at the table. I'm playing to find out. This is what RPGs are all about for me, exploring the world and the characters, seeing what emerges from the interactions at the table. As a player at the table, when GMing, I want to enjoy the process of play and lose myself in the moment. RPGs are a collaborative endeavour in which you, the GM, are leading, perhaps, but as much a participant and collaborator as anyone else. To my mind, we should allow moments of play to arise from the collective wells that inspire us. A living world improvised from the details generated but drawn into reality through the collective exploration of that place, allowing ourselves to be prompted by the mechanisms of the game and led towards the unexpected, inviting us to respond with creativity and skill, playing to find out what's there, what happens, and how it all turns out. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time. I love hearing from listeners just like you. Some folk drop me an email or tag me on social media. I'm on Blue Sky and MeWe if you want to look me up. Links are in the show notes. But the most enjoyable feedback comes from listeners who call in, whether by hitting the link to SpeakPipe or by recording a voice memo and emailing it in. Thanks to John for his question that I've shared today. But who knows, perhaps your call-in will inspire something that brings me back to the mic. In the meantime, this is the end, at least for now. I want to thank all the Roleplay Rescue patrons who support the show through patreon.com/rpgrescue. You guys will still be hearing the GM's Journal for the foreseeable future, so I hope you'll stick around and listen in there. And if you're not a fan of Patreon, I do share the GM's Journal to Ko-fi monthly subscribers, although space limits mean I have to delete back episodes to make space for new episodes. Ko-fi membership, like the Patreon, is just £1 a month. Big thanks to John from Tale of the Manticore for recording and sharing the Roleplay Rescue theme music, plus all the incidental stingers. I truly do appreciate you and your work, John, and I cannot thank you enough. If you've not tuned in to Tale of the Manticore, folks, then you really are missing out. I also want to thank John Four from RoleplayingTips.com for publishing, very recently, the book Tiny Prep, which I co-wrote with him, and which is available now. I'll see if I can stick a note to that in the show notes too. But most of all, thank you as ever to you, the listener. Without your ears, this would truly be shouting into the void, and I would have ceased not only podcasting, but probably even playing RPGs long, long, long ago. You are the true Roleplay Rescue. I call you rescuers because that's exactly what you've always been to me. Thank you, God bless, and I'll see you again sometime. Game on.